بجد انا قلت كده بعد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. ما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders and sisters, alhamdulillah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing, His fadl and karam, that we are able to sit down and learn from the meanings of the Qur'an. I can't stress this enough, that if every letter of the Qur'an is to understand the reward and value, hadith of Rasulullah s.a.w. says that to read one letter of the Qur'an is equal to 10 rewards. And one hadith of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu in Sahih ibn Hibban says, to memorize an ayah of the Qur'an is worth 100 rakats, more than 100 rakats of prayer. To memorize one ayah of the Qur'an is better than 100 rakats of prayer. So if that's the... That's okay. I left it then. And if that's the case with the reading of it and then the memorizing of it, then what is the reward of those who understand the meaning of the Quran? And that those who make niyyah that, Ya Allah, that book that you sent down for me so I could practice on it, Ya Allah, I make intention to practice. Imagine the reward of such people, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah to make this a reality for us, inshallah, that we become people of practice of the Quran. A person who practices in the Quran can transform the whole world. This is what Rasulullah did with his time. He made such human beings, such sahaba, his companions, that they went around the whole world and they changed it because of the Quran. Remember this power that is in the Quran. It can change your life and the life of every single human in this world. May Allah grant us that understanding, inshallah. And mashallah, the topic again for this year we chose is the du'as of the Quran, which is entirely practical. You need du'as throughout your whole life. You need du'as. You need to learn to beg and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all your needs, for all the hardships, for all the difficulties. Human beings in this country are going through depression, such depression, anxiety, stress. And, you know, to the point that they're contemplating how can they take their own life. May Allah save us from that. The idea that is that, subhanAllah, is because we live around people of kufr and disbelief, we don't realize that as Muslims, alhamdulillah, you have the solution before you. You're not human unless you learn to beg Allah Ta'ala. You're not human unless you learn to ask Allah Ta'ala. Being human means that you are abd of Allah. Right? Allah is my Mawla, my Rabb, and I am His abd, and I worship Him. When you worship Allah, you will be happy. I tell you, wallahi, Allah bi dhikri Allahi, tatma'innul qulub. It's not my promise, it's the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, that by the remembrance of Allah, all hearts will find tranquility and rest. I had a person, subhanAllah, and I just mentioned these things as side points, okay? That this one person, subhanAllah, he suffered from a very severe bipolar issue. And I studied psychology, and I know the therapy behind these things and the issues behind these things. SubhanAllah, he was going through such difficulties, he had medication, etc. And then, subhanAllah, it wasn't really helping him. So he asked me for anything. I said, whatever the doctors tell you to do, do it. Along with it, I tell you, send salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Send salat and salam ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? And I said, this, do this just 100 times every day, whatever. SubhanAllah, within a month's time, he said, I don't even need the medication anymore. As if all my worries and anxieties went away, subhanAllah. I remind everyone, inshallah, that the dhikr has an impact, a power on your soul. Your ruh needs food and sustenance. And this is what these du'as are. You need Allah Ta'ala. You cannot survive without Allah. This is what the beauty of these du'as are. So the du'a that we're going to cover today, I want to, inshallah, hopefully now, go with where we are in the Taraweeh, inshallah ta'ala. So you can at least maybe catch it. Maybe, inshallah, somewhere in there. In the galaxy of ayat that are being recited, inshallah. Which is the end of Surah At-Tawbah. It's a beautiful part. It's a dua by which Rasulullah s.a.w. said, إِذَا أَصْبَحَ وَإِذَا أَمْسَى وَنْ قَالَ إِذَا أَصْبَحَ وَإِذَا أَمْسَى. Whoever says this morning and evening, 7 times, Rasulullah s.a.w. said, كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ مَا أَهَمَّهُ. Whatever worries and anxieties you have of the day, Allah will take care of it. From this dua, inshallah ta'ala, whatever issues and problems and needs you have for the day, this will solve all your needs. What is it? Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. It's the last ayah of Surah At-Tawbah. You need to find it. The last ayah of Surah At-Tawbah. Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. It was revealed for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was revealed for Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His anxiety and his stress was something that you can't even imagine. You and I are thinking about our daily bread, our daily food, our daily rizq. Rasulullah is thinking of all of humanity, how can they all enter Jannah and be saved from the fire of Jahannam? His stress, could you imagine it? He could even sleep at night, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with this worry. If you saw him from afar, you would look with such mutawasil al-ahzan, da'im al-fikr, as if he was always contemplating and he was just going through this anxiety and worry about mankind. This is Rasulullah from a distance. But if you came in front of him, he would smile as if there was no problem whatsoever. This is Nabi alayhi salatu salam. This Nabi sallallahu alayhi was worried about these groups, this group of humans, these beings. Who are they? The munafiqeen, the hypocrites. Ajib, right? We would probably hate the Munafiqeen the most. Yet Rasulullah made dua for them. Could you imagine how much love he had for everyone? And he tried their best to help them. You might know very famously that when Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, he was the leader of the Munafiqeen, Ra'isul Munafiqeen, the Hazrat of the Munafiqeen, right? Hazrat Munafiq Sahib, he died, right? His son was a Muslim, Sahabi, companion of Rasulullah, which is ajib. Abu Jahl died as Kafir. Ikrimah, son of Abu Jahl, his son is a Muslim. Abdullah bin Ubay, Munafiq, his son, Sahabi of Rasulullah. Ajib, how Allah Ta'ala makes this happen. His son that came up to Rasulullah said, "Ya Rasulullah, my father died as a Munafiq, a hypocrite, a Kafir. Please praise janazah." You know, and Nabi Sallallahu actually, out of the tenderness, kindness of his heart, he said, "I will." And he even asked him, he said, "If you have a thawb, you have a qamis on, if you can take off the qamis and give it to him so he can wear it in his qabr as a shroud, as a kafan for him." And Rasulullah did it. How much love he had for mankind. So Allah Ta'ala actually starts off by making an appeal to the munafiq. Could you imagine this? An appeal, a darkhast, a request to the munafiq. Allah says, "Laqad ja'akum rasulun min anfusikum." A messenger has come from amongst yourselves. He's a human being, and closer to you is that he's an Arab. He is a human being, but he's an Arab, like you. And Rasulullah is so close. You must understand the value of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The fact that, mashallah, he has human problems. You know, when I have an issue with my own wife, I just look at the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? And then, subhanAllah, someone told me that, I remember one person came up to Halqa. Mashallah, I have a lot of stories. I should probably not get derailed, but this one will make you guys smile and happy. You've had a long day. You went through work. Trust me, I know. I'll make it easy for everyone. There's one brother, he came up. He was crying after Halqa. Wallah, he was crying. He was like, "Maulana, man, my wife did such, she spoke such evil words to me. She insulted me. She derides me. She belittles me. She insults my parents. She says all these things. And she's not dindar. She's not this and that." And he started going on for a while and he started crying. And he just said, "I just have one question. Am I the only one going through this?" I started laughing. I said, "Brother, this is my daily experience." I said, "You're not alone. Every husband, mashallah, has this, I want to say, perennial problem, right? This is a problem that everyone has to go through." It's Rasulullah, sorry. He was, Aisha radiallahu anha one time was sick. Hadith of Bukhari. Aisha radiallahu anha one time was sick. And she said, "Oh, it's such a painful fever I have, how to difficulty I have." Rasulullah said, "Oh, Aisha, don't worry. If anything happens, inshallah, I'll take care of you and I'll provide for you. And don't worry, inshallah, you know, if anything happens, may Allah to protect." But he said, "If anything happens, your janazah, everything will be taken care of, you know?" And she said that, "What are you talking about? You only wishing for my death so you can marry another woman." SubhanAllah. Right? SubhanAllah. You guys are like, "Wow, that was me. That was me just yesterday." SubhanAllah. You know, Rasulullah went through human problems. He had family members who passed away who are not Muslim. Could you imagine how difficult that is for a human being to go through? Rasulullah had that experience. Rasulullah had children who passed away. Rasulullah had grandchildren passed away. He had so many hardships, SubhanAllah. Yet you can see how he handled everything. What a ni'mah from Allah that he wasn't from the malaika, that you couldn't understand him, that he's a human being like you. And I tell you that, subhanAllah, by even taking his name, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you get barakah because of his name, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you don't understand this yet, go give salam to his qabr and see on the day of judgment when he reminds you about the salam that you gave him. And the fact that when you are, mashallah, coming on the qiyamah and you need to be saved from the fire of Jahannam, Allah will give him the shafa'ah, the intercession that will save you from the hellfire, inshallah ta'ala. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is such a ni'mah to us. Allah is saying, "Laqad ja'akum rasulun min anfusikum." A great messenger has come to you from yourselves. Azizun alayhi ma anittum. He's very concerned about what troubles you. He's very concerned. It weighs heavy on him what troubles you. Right? Azizun alayhi ma anittum. Harisun alaykum. He hopes for the best for you. Bil mu'mineen, with the believers. Raufur rahim. Allah Ta'ala, to describe the rahmah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala uses his own names to explain who Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. Allah Ta'ala's name is Rahim. Allah Ta'ala's name is Ra'uf. Allah Ta'ala says Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Ra'uf al-Rahim. To give you an idea, obviously Allah is Allah. Not to say they're the same, of course. But Allah Ta'ala is telling you that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his rahmah and his tenderness is so much that the only words I can give you is something that I give to myself, Allah Ta'ala says. Allahu Akbar. Look at the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who's this appeal to again? To the munafiq, hajib, the guy who outside is Islam, inside he's nothing. What we say, Muslim by name. Allah says, "This is the appeal for everyone who's Muslim by name. This messenger has come with such concern for you. Can you not take Shahada properly? Can you not become Muslim properly?" Then therefore Allah Ta'ala tells the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "If they turn away, faqul, say, Hasbi Allah.
If they don't listen to you after this, you're being so nice to them and kind to them. If they turn away after this, say what? Hasbi Allah. Say Allah Ta'ala is enough for me. What does hasb? I want you all to understand this, okay? Hasb is like something being sufficient. But it's a special type of sufficiency. When you say Allah Ta'ala is kafi and Allah Ta'ala is hasbi, it's basically the same meaning, but slightly different. Slightly different. I'll give you an example. When you need to buy a car, okay, what do you start to do? You weigh the plus and you weigh the minus, especially when you buy a used car. Okay, especially when you buy a used car, you weigh plus and minus. So you start checking what is the pros, what is the cons. This is called hisab. You're doing hisab here. You are measuring and calculating what is sufficient for you. Okay, so then you'll say the pluses are this and the minuses are this, right? And then if you see the plus outweigh the minus, what do you say? Mashallah, right? Sometimes we do this for nikah too, right? The girl, mashallah, she's a good girl. Like she likes my mom likes her. She's mashallah, she can cook a good biryani, mashallah. But she might not have this plus quality, something with minus. And then you weigh it, and at the end, what do you do? So this is the hasb. It's enough for me, right? You weigh it, right? So what does hasbi Allah mean? Okay, you're gonna put what are you gonna put on one side? You're gonna put your financial difficulties. You're gonna put the difficulties from your children, difficulties from family, difficulties from work, from school, from all the difficulties of the dunya. You're gonna put it on one side. And who are you going to put on the other side? Allah. That's what hasbi Allah means. That when you understand that you're going to weigh all your problems and put Allah on the other side, who outweighs here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say hasbi Allah, no matter what I could calculate for myself, whatever I think for myself, whatever issues I have, I know Allah does enough. Hasbi Allah. That's what that means. No matter what issue you're going through, what musibah you're going through, put Allah on one side and then weigh it and see what happens afterwards. And this is the reality of hasbi Allah. When people understand the depth of this, mashallah ta'ala, the idea that Allah ta'ala is enough for you, nothing can stop you anymore. This is why Rasulullah says, he mentioned the hadith, right? I just told you in the beginning. You say this morning and evening 7 times. Hasbi Allah, la ilaha illahu. No matter what troubles you in the day, inshallah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will take care of you. Allah ta'ala loves it when you trust Him on these things. And so why is it that Allah ta'ala is hasbi? Because la ilaha illahu. There's none worthy of worship but Him. Who's making all the decisions, brothers? Who's making all the decisions? Say, Allah. Who has all the power? Allah. Who has all the might? Allah. Who has everything in His hand? Allah. Who has everything? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illahu. When you say hasbi Allah, Allah is enough for me. La ilaha illahu. There was no one else in charge anyways. So why would I worry about anything else? What would I worry about after if you said La ilaha illahu? There's only one Rabbul Alameen in charge of everything. And so that should be understood from this, inshallah ta'ala. Along with this, more importantly, is what? Compared to all your dunyawi problems. All your dunyawi problems. What is the biggest problem you and I have in life? That I need to pass away with the kalima La ilaha illallah. On qiyamah, you must raise before Allah ta'ala. Allah will do hisab of your whole life. Hasbi Allah, la ilaha illallah. This is greater than any problem you're going to have in the whole world. Trust me. No matter what problem you're going through here, if you can't make it in the hereafter, you're a loser. You must make sure you survive in the hereafter. When you say, la ilaha illahu, remind yourself, no matter what problem I'm going through in life, really it's a small problem, a tiny problem. Ya Allah, you are my hasbi in this world. And Ya Allah, when I go to the hereafter, I don't want to go to Jahannam. Allahu Akbar. I already told you about burning my finger a little bit, subhanAllah. The pain of even that little finger burn, Allahu Akbar. We can't even take this much pain. How could you take Jahannam, subhanAllah? La ilaha illahu. Alayhi tawakkalt. This is what you say. I trust on him. Wa huwa Rabbul Arshil Azim. He is the Lord of the great Arsh, the tremendous Arsh, the Rabbul Arshil Azim. I told you the other day that people think of the Arsh as a throne. So get that image out of your mind. It's not a chair. Allah doesn't need a chair. Why would Allah then need a throne? What is he, British? Ajib, man, subhanAllah, right? He needs to sit on the comet, right? Ajib. He's not none of these things, right? Allah Ta'ala, what is the Arsh? The Arsh is like the Saqful Samawati wal Ard. Ibn Kathir explains, he says, this is like the ceiling, the barrier of all the heavens and the earth. Everything that is made in creation, everything that is made in creation is surrounded by this beautiful, wondrous creation of Allah called the Arsh. And it is something that the Malaika look at and they remember Allah because of this. It's a tremendous creation of Allah Ta'ala, the Arsh. It surrounds absolutely everything in this world. Everything good and bad, whatever is in this dunya, in the heavens and the earth, everything, what is surrounding it? Wasi'a kursiyyu samawati wal ard. This is the Arsh that is surrounding everything. This is huge. This is azim. Rabbul Arshil Azim. This is amazing, extraordinary thing. The size of it must be huge, right? The power and authority of this thing must be huge, right? Everything that's happening in this world is inside this arsh, right? Who's the Lord of this arsh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Hasbi Allah la ilaha illahu. Alayhi tawakkaltu. Wa huwa rabbul arshim. Allah, you are the master of this arsh, and everything that's happening to me is underneath this arsh. And you have power over this arsh, ya Allah. I want you to take care of my problems. This is what it means when you say, Hasbi Allah la ilaha illahu. Alayhi tawakkaltu wa rabbul arshil azim. My brothers in Islam, this is the dua of the Philistine brothers and sisters overseas. This is what gives them that power and that sustenance that they need to survive every day. You and I, inshallah, Rasulullah again told us 7 times in the morning, Hasbi Allah la ilaha illahu. Alayhi tawakkaltu wa rabbul arshil azim. 7 times in the evening, Hasbi Allah la ilaha illahu. Alayhi tawakkaltu wa rabbul arshil azim. What you need to think about while you're doing this is this. Just make this reflection. Allah, I have this problem. I have this problem. I have this issue. I have this trouble. I have this musibah. I have this problem and this problem. Hasbi Allah. You want to think about your problems. I'm telling you to think about your problems and go through an immediate therapy session with Allah. Right? Immediate. You think about everything that's going through your life and say, Ya Allah, Hasbi Allah. And you'll see, inshallah, that Allah will take care of all the musibah, inshallah. May Allah grant us that, inshallah. Make it easy for all of us to make this dua regularly, inshallah ta'ala. And as a reminder for myself, for everyone, again, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was much bigger than, again, what our problems were. Rasulullah was worried about the non-Muslims, the munafiqeen, etc., etc. Allah ta'ala said for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, read Hasbi Allah. And Allah ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this, right? Now, mashallah, 1400 years later, there are people in Massachusetts, Burlington, making dhikr of Allah ta'ala overseas. You know, this dua of Rasulullah was so impactful. Could you imagine what it did for the whole world? May Allah grant us that tawfiq and understanding. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.